Well, you better learn how to. If you expect to be equal, you want to be equal? Well, there are leaders of this world around us in the world we're in that are looking all the way into 2,500. That enables them to know and prepare better for 2,000. You see? But you, only thing you worried about is the next election. You've been trained to think in 2 years and in 4 years. Welfare and preferential treatment. We got to come out of that.
And Islam is the way, sure way, without a doubt. Let me quickly now turn to the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ta'ala means Most High, Supreme Being. Allah says, this day have those who reject faith given up all hope of your religion. Yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Almighty God done this for us through his universal prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be upon him. Again, God says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book. No errors are in it. It is a guide for the ones that want to go straight. Oh, I can't. He says the whole Quran will bring peace to my mind and clear up everything, but I can't find any. I don't get any help when I read the whole Quran. Well, then, stop reading and pray that God make you one of the muttaqeen, one of those who want to go straight. Can you follow a straight line when you want to walk crooked?
No.
You only try to follow a straight line when you want to walk straight. You know, we used to walk rail. You know those pipes they used to make and put them around the lawn to keep you off the lawn? We used to walk those rails. And you couldn't walk that rail unless your mind was 100% on walking straight. You get up there with your mind ain't on walking straight, you're gonna fall off that rail all the way. Is that much for God to ask of us? Just to want to walk straight? Just to want to be straight in our lives? That's not much to ask. He didn't ask you to come as an angel. He didn't ask you to make everything perfect in your life. No. You can come as a sinner. But come with the desire to stop sinning and walk straight. And if you don't come with that desire, don't expect to be guided by that straight truth. No. Straight truth won't guide somebody that wants to walk crooked. Again, Almighty God, the Most High, says in this Quran, in it there has not been permitted, it has been protected by God, there has not been permitted in it any crookedness. Some people show us a straight way, but hidden in the undercurrent of what seems to the eye to be straight is crookedness. But Almighty God has said that no, in this Quran, there has not been allowed any crookedness. There's no secret wisdom here that differs with the language of the book. There's no true reading, one contrary to the other. Oh, is that true of other scriptures? Yes, sir, read. Ah. can prove it at any given time. Yes, yes.
And Allah says, had this revelation been revealed upon a mountain, the mountain would have shaken down into dust. Just shook itself and rolled down as dust, as sand. Yes. Isn't that powerful, powerful description for the Word of God? That if it had been revealed to a physical mountain, that physical mountain would have shaken and just humbled itself, rolled down as sand, loose sand. Allahu Akbar. What does that say to us? Don't we sometimes think in our own selfishness, in our own arrogance, don't we sometimes say, I don't need it? You all need that. But I got money, I got education, I don't need it. We think the call to God are for those who don't have any human strength, any human intelligence, any human power. I don't need that. That's good for you all. I congratulate the Imam. He's doing a lot of good for those people. And sometimes the smallest person that he's referring to is taller than he is. But all of his education, his PhDs and other things, he's stooping lower often than the smallest person he's referring to. Yeah. But that's how they estimate the Word of God. Yeah. And Allah says in the Quran, no just estimation have they made. They have made an unjust estimation. They have miserably underestimated God and His plan. Yes. Says Allah says again, say, we have heard the mockery, the taunt of those who say, we are rich and God is poor. Say, no, God is rich and you are poor. Isn't that how they regard the sincere, humble people? Oh, they have nothing to offer. We have all everything to offer them. They have nothing to offer us. But their votes, if they'll go out blindly to the polls. They don't think we have moral guidance to offer them. They don't think we have intellectual insight to offer them. They don't think we have social maturity to offer them. They don't think we can put their life on a sound foundation and solve their social problems or their community problems. They are wrong. We got everything to offer them. If we are Muslims following God's way, and those that reject God and His way have nothing to offer us. And we do ourselves a good favor not to accept anything they offer. Because usually what they offer you is something to entrap you. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. They want to entrap you. But those that respect the Word, if they respect the Word of God, then we respect them. We trust them. But if they show no respect for the Word of God, we trust them not at all. I don't want their friendship. I don't want their charity.
I don't want nothing from a people that don't have any respect for the word of God. Because I know their help will be a hurt to me. In the long run, it's not going to help me, it's going to hurt me. So Allah has given us guidance to protect us. What does Allah say? It says the Muslim is the wali of the Muslim. The Muslim is the protecting friend of the Muslim. It says, and don't take the Christians or the Jews for your protecting friends, because they are the protecting friends of each other. Now, some people may be quickly upset by this before giving some thought to it. So, a religion that won't allow Muslims to have friendship with Christians and Jews, what kind of religion is that? That's not right. You didn't understand. It didn't say Rafiq. It didn't say Sadiq. It said Wali. Wali is just not a friend. Wali is a friend that I trust with my goods, with my whole Quran. Say, brother, hold this book for me until I get back. The Muslim knows the respect I have for this book. I can trust him to hold the whole Quran until I get back. The Christian don't know the etiquette for the whole Quran. He might put his pork chops on top of it. Now, I don't mean unwrapped. I mean in the baggage. You understand? No Christian is fool enough to put bloody pork chops on top of any book. Yeah. And then can I trust Christian and Jews with my children? Have they been taught how Muslim children are supposed to be raised? Can I trust them with the mosque? Have they been taught how to care for this mosque? Can I trust them to protect the Islamic way of life when they reject, willfully or unwillfully, the way of life? And they don't know the Islamic way of life, or if they know it, they don't accept it. So can I trust them to keep the way of life? No! That's what Allah is saying. Do not trust Christians and Jews to protect your society. They are trained to protect the Christian society. And you are trained to protect the Muslim society. You be your own friend and protector for your own community. That's the guidance of God. That's the guidance of God. But look how wonderful Allah is. Allah knows our prejudices, our racial prejudices, our racial and religious prejudices and religious hatred. Allah knows that. Allah says, protect the houses in which the name of God is pronounced. Allah says that had not the people been empowered or raised up, made strong, to resist the aggression of another people. Churches, synagogues, churches, monasteries, in which the name of God is pronounced, would have been toppled, torn down. Is that right? Yes. And Prophet Muhammad in Medina made it a law that the Muslim protects the churches, synagogues, the religious houses of worship of other people. Yes, the Muslims had to protect them. I mean, if the house was unprotected and there was some wicked person or wicked group attacking or tearing down or desecrating the sanctity, the sacredness of that church or that synagogue, it was the Muslim's duty to even fight them physically, to drive them away from disrespecting the house of God. This was Prophet Muhammad. He established that. that as long as the Christians and the Jews, or other people, especially the Jews, he spoke of the Jews, as long as they live as decent citizens in the Muslim society in word, they would have the freedom to practice their religion, to do business, to live a free life in the Muslim society, in the Muslim country. This is Prophet Muhammad. You see? I get people that can tell me, you're having interfaith meetings with the Christians and the Jews. You're talking of friendship with the Christians and the Jews. And the Holy Quran says, don't take Christians and Jews for friends. You learn how to read the Holy Quran before you tell me what the Holy Quran says. You don't know what the Holy Quran says. Can you read Arabic? Don't take Christians and Jews for friends. If that was so, you would find the whole Muslim world in an uproar, or at least a sufficient number in an uproar, saying, the president of Egypt is now really clearly in the fault. We can really pronounce judgment on Egypt, president for that now in Egypt, because he has offered the hand of friendship to Jews. Nobody accused him because they know better. The ones who are ignorant, nobody listened to them. And the ones who have knowledge to be listened to, they know better. The king of Saudi Arabia, he has a good friendly relations with the United States and President Carter. Not only him, most of the rulers in Al-Islam have pretty good relations with other religious communities. And many of them have excellent relations with other religious communities. There are interfaith councils led by Muslims, Jews, the World Council of Churches, and others. They all are meeting together to fight the common problem for people who respect and love God. We all have common problems. We don't want to see the name of God treated lightly, the word of God treated as a pornography book, a cheap piece of literature, and that's what we have in the world. We don't want to see crime grow so big that people's lives are contained by the criminal instead of by the word of God or by the law of righteousness and justice. Now, we don't want to see that. How are we going to feed it? How are we going to fight it and defeat it? When it comes from the Christian world into the Muslim world, from the Muslim world into the Christian world, don't think dirty water just comes from one quarter. Dirty water comes from all quarters. Dirty water out of the Muslim land comes into the Christian land, and into the Jewish land, or into the other land, and it comes out of the Jewish land into ours. Now, how are we going to defeat it if we don't unite? All the people that don't like dirty water backing up into their homes should unite against the dirty water. And to do that, you can't go around saying Muslims are not to take Christians and Jews for friends. The Muslim is to take everybody for friends until he proves to be an enemy. Once he proves to be an enemy, we don't take him for a friend any longer. But we are not to take anybody for a protecting friend, a friend to protect our interests, other than a Muslim who has proven his worth in the community. Not any old man that say he's a Muslim, or any old sister that say, As-salamu alaykum, or wa alaykum as-salam. It has to be somebody that has proven to be outstanding in the way of Allah. Right? There are some
bother you, I wouldn't let you hold my Holy Quran. And you call yourself a Muslim. Right. Are you not yet ready? Right. Some of you don't plan to get ready. They don't need a fool now, Phil. This is a new day. I'd like to read another verse in the Quran. The crowd. Chapter called Zuma in the Arabic language. Verse 4. Had God wished, that is, had Allah wished, some of us don't think that the God and Allah are the same. False God and Allah is not the same, that's understandable. That shouldn't be a problem to anybody's mind. But the real God and Allah are the same. It says, La arad Allah. And he translated, had God wished. La arada Allah. La arada Allah. If God had wished or had wanted to take to himself a son, he could have chosen whom he pleased. Out of those whom he does create. All these sons that God has created on this earth, why did he have to go and do something strange to get him a son? None of us are worth God's missioning. You mean to tell me all the human beings that God made, his whole creation, is not worthy? Not a one fit? And not a one can be made fit? Without an artificial insemination? Well, God says in this Quran, that if he had wanted a son, he'd just pick one minute. All these men. Well, it's just full of men. If he wanted one, he'd just take one of them. He already had them. And didn't have to stoop to your level to have them. He had them from the mighty position of God Almighty. Create the earth, create the animals, plants, everything, and create people. Oh, but all of us were sinning. Oh, that's the beauty of it. The sinning world can never kill out the nature that God has put in man. That's the beauty of it. But if we say the whole world was sinning and there was nothing left usable, that's not beautiful. That's not beautiful. That tells me that the nature that God had put in men and women had fallen, had died out, and there was nothing left to be used to build the kingdom of God. That's terrible. That's a terrible thing to say for God, that God made the human being, populated the world with men and women, but there was not a single one on earth fit. That he had to have a child, a man, without a father. That he had to be the father himself. And he had to find a mother that no man had touched. It doesn't say much for God. All of these good Thanksgiving people around here on this earth, and they have always been,
He found Mary. Didn't he? He found the mother of Christ. He found Mary. She was fit. She was fit because he hadn't had sex.
Oh, you're so pitiful. Pitiful, pitiful, pitiful.
She hadn't had an intercourse with Satan. She hadn't had an intercourse with lies and corruption in religion. That's the germ of man that hadn't touched her.
Oh, is that what that means?
That's the more important understanding. That's what separates the men from the boys. Found the Mary, didn't he?
So it should have been, oh, the woman, but no man was existing fit. No man was fit. No leader was fit. The leadership was unfit. But there were worthwhile people in the society. So God chose people from the society that were still fit. And they became pregnant, pregnant with love for God, with desire to serve God. And they dedicate themselves to the service of God. And God guides the best one among them to be that leader. Then he become that leader. And it's an immaculate conception that God can bypass the world's knowledge, the world's teaching, and inspire man without the aid of the teachers to rise up above the teachers of the world. Oh, that's an immaculate conception, brothers and sisters. Now, if you're talking about a woman walking around here pregnant, her stomach sticking out, I don't agree with you that that's immaculate. That's common. You say, well, it's immaculate if no man touched it. Still common, because nobody will believe it. If it was possible, let the Pope's daughter come up with a baby. And she said the Holy Ghost did it. She'd be excommunicated. And you'll never know it. The Pope will hide her and her sins from the whole world. Allah hasn't put that nature in the man. Allah has not put it in human nature to believe that a girl will come here with a big stomach and have a baby like our baby. If the stomach didn't grow at all, and the doctors had nothing to do with it, they just took her to the bed, or she was just in the bed, and all of a sudden a child appeared. And it looks just like the mother, and it takes to the mother. We might have to kind of believe that, or follow it, or at least investigate it. Well, I don't care how good a sister is. She jump up here and say, I'm pregnant with the Holy Child of the Holy Ghost. She's going to be pregnant with 1 year restricted membership. And what does God say? The whole world changed, but God's law never changed. Is that right? Everything's going to change. The sun and the moon, the earth itself is going to fade away and pass out of existence one day. But it says something never changes. And that is the ordinance, the divine ordinance of God. That law that he had established to rule creation never changes.
with those who used to say, and all Elijah Muhammad was among them, that God would be inviting us to commit a sin, to break a law that he established himself. If he literally, physically, literally, had a relationship with a physical woman from this earth. And I guess that's why a lot of these preachers, because they think they're so divine, they break the law. These are my daughters. Sister Mary, Sister Francine, and they are all our strange daughters. Yeah, I met her. She's my daughter. And I could just look at the people and see the relationship between them. There was no daughter. We have to be right. And the worst wrong we can do is to take God's name and use it to hide a wrong. That's the worst of all wrongs. Allah says they use the name of God, they use Allah to hide their sins, their wrongs, their lies. We're going to be finished shortly, don't worry. I want to read from this book, 40 hadith, 40 sayings of Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. We have this book here. This is one of the books that we received as a gift book. We ordered some more, we're buying some more, but we received a number as gifts. We have a gift book account, and we use the proceeds from these books to support our propagations work and help the community financially. In fact, the proceeds from these books go to help us operate or keep the operations of our school. I want to read now from one of these books. Prophet Muhammad says, none of you truly believes unless he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. In Arabic, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. It is very plain, very clear. You will not become truly a believer, a full believer, until you desire, love, or like for your brother what you desire, love, or like for yourself. This is a very authentic hadith, not subject to doubt or question. There are a number of hadiths, some of them less reliable than others, but there are a great number of them that are very sound, reliable hadiths, and this whole book is taken from the most excellent hadith, the soundest. No doubt, the reports have been made by so many and from such reliable sources that there's no reason at all to doubt any part of it. I want to read again. Because we are not men skilled in law. We are not judges. So we have to be taught. And we can only be taught by following Allah's guidance, the Quran, number one, and the life of Prophet Muhammad, because Prophet Muhammad, he lived the message.
his life was a demonstration of God's way for us. None of you truly believes until his inclination is in accordance with what I have brought. We know we have an inclination, we're inclined to think certain ways, or to behave certain ways, to desire certain things, to do certain things. We have all of these inclinations, tendencies, desires, impulses. But we have a word here from the prophet himself, and he says that no one of us will truly be a believer until our desires, our inclinations, follow what he brought to us. What did he bring to us? The Holy Quran. Isn't that what Allah gave him? The Holy Quran. Our desires, our likes, our tastes, our inclinations, our impulses must be ruled by Allah through his word. The word of God must dominate our whole lives. The whole life, brothers and sisters. That's the only way. If you have an inclination toward something unacceptable in Islam, the Holy Quran says that's not acceptable. Don't rationalize. Don't argue with it. Admit that you are living in disagreement and conform. Reconcile yourself with the guidance of God. That's the only way. Now, listen at this hadith again. The first hadith. This is Ta'lim. I haven't forgot what I told you. Don't worry. The first hadith I quoted, it says, no one of you will become a true believer, believe indeed, until he first like or desire for his brother what he likes or desires for himself. Is that right? Now, some of us are devious, mischievous. We can play with this like we play with a lot of other things. Oh, brother, you don't know the deep wisdom. That applies even to your wife, brother. If I'm with you and I don't have a wife, brother, we're supposed to share. Now, this is a snake. That's that grafted snake. Getting ready to distract you and put the poison of Satan in you. What Allah says is perfect. What the Prophet Muhammad says is perfect in the light of Allah's guidance. You can't take the hadith and run off with it and apply it without respecting the rule that is superior to the hadith. The Holy Quran is a higher authority. So how am I to know how to practice this? I still can go to the authority. But right away, only a devil would do these things. Right away, the Holy Quran tells me not to commit adultery. Is that right? The Holy Quran tells me not to go near adultery. And when one starts desiring somebody that's not his wife, he's going near to adultery. Is that right? If I start approaching in my mind a sister that's married, or I'm a married man, adultery has already gotten into me and I've started to approach it. Is that right? Yes. Don't go near to the adultery. That's God's law. I can't break it. I can't say, yes, well, brother, that don't mean in every circumstance, brother, or in every situation, brother. This is a unique situation, brother. I'm 200 miles from my wife, and I haven't touched my wife in 2 months, brother. And your wife is here, and she's a good wife, brother, and you're supposed to love for your brother what you love for yourself. Now, don't tell me what these people can come up with.
I came up with them, I know
what they can come up with. Without the guidance of God.
Okay, so the brothers, they agree to this.
Well, brothers, okay. Just as long as that, okay, I have to. You share, okay, you tonight, I'll meet tomorrow night.
Then when it's discovered, if it was really a Muslim law ruling in the land, do you know what should happen?
All the guilty parties should be killed.
Yes.
All of them. All of the ones who participated in the act should be killed.
Yes.
That's if they're found to be guilty.
Now, let me go one more hadith here. I think one of the most powerful hadiths of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that hadith we just quoted. It says, no one of you can become indeed a believer until his inclination follow what I have come to you with. And that's the whole Quran. When your inclinations go in agreement with the whole Quran and follow the law, not rebelling against it, follow God's guidance, the Quran, from cover to cover, without going against it, then you're safe. You're safe. A brother should love for his brother. A sister should love for a sister. It means we should love for each other what we love for ourselves. But first, you have to be a Muslim to know what your brother should have. If you're not a good believer, you might love for me your sin. I don't want you loving for me your sin. Is that right?
No.
So the believer should love for his brother what is lawful first. And that is law. And what is unlawful cannot be desired by a believer. See, we don't know how strong the term mu'min is. Mu'min is a very strong term. Don't you know it's not 50% of us probably that's mu'min? A lot of us are Muslim. In fact, all of us are Muslim, I believe. But if we come down to how many are mu'min, I don't know. Mu'min means that he trusts his life with God. He trusts his life with the Word of God. He doesn't question or doubt what God says or what God has promised. If God says the sun is going to vanish, the moon is going to vanish, the earth is going to vanish, and I'm going to raise you up and question you and give you a new creation, he accepts it. He doesn't doubt it. He doesn't rationalize it to try to figure out on his low level of intelligence how this may be possible in my understanding or within my scope of knowledge. No, that's not a mu'min. That probably can be called him a Muslim. If he's a peace-loving person, if he says there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger, and he says he's a Muslim, he tried to live a Muslim life, we can't say he's not a Muslim. But a mu'min means one who has accepted all that God has said. Trust God with his whole being, whole life. Doesn't doubt anything God has said or promised. He follows the way with complete faith. That's a mu'min. And Prophet Muhammad says, no one of you will become that until first his inclinations follow what I've come to you with, the Quran, whole book. And again, he says, no one of you will come to that until he first loves for his fellow man what he loves for himself. Is that right?
Yes.
You want to make money? Don't want to make it at my expense? What I mean by that, at my social expense. Don't ruin my social
social worth or my social status in the world so that you'll become rich. How many businessmen in business who claim to be good Muslims, claim to be good Christians, but will devise a plan or operation to make money that they know is going to undermine the financial stability of other people? That's going to put their financial strength in danger. They don't care. As long as they get strong, right? That's not a movement. Maybe he's a Muslim. Maybe this thought hasn't come to his mind. Maybe he hasn't seen his sin. You know, so I'm making this money and I donate 2%, 5%, 10% to the masjid. But you're taking down people by 20%, 50%, 70%. You see? Lastly, from the 40 hadith, I quote a hadith, mention hadith in this collection here, 40 hadith, by Dr. Ibrahim, Izzedine Ibrahim. The hadith is not by him.